Amen. What a great, great day already. And I love the fact that we could come in and have some fun and lighthearted fun with our crazy tacky sweaters this morning. And then we can sing songs that are just as meaningful with a nice shirt or a jacket or a tacky sweater. And it just reminds us that we're not singing about us. We're singing about Him. And so take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 7. And when you found Isaiah chapter 7, I want you to hold your finger there and turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter number 1. We're continuing our series this morning on the names of Jesus above every name. His name is above all others. And we saw last week that He is the Savior. We looked at Matthew chapter 1, the story of Joseph and how that the angel came and shared with him that he was going to save his people from their sins. He would be the Savior. The week before that, we looked at the Old Testament and how He is wonderful. And the prophet Isaiah is speaking to Ahaz here, King Ahaz, in Isaiah chapter 7. And he's trying to show him where Israel was as a nation, trying just to show them where they had come. They had walked away from the Lord. Remember, Isaiah set the stage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, when he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. Name shall be called Wonderful." There it is. "Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform us." We talked about Isaiah chapter 9. But in chapter 7, Ahaz is asked to ask for a sign. Give us some kind of a sign. What can we be looking for that would restore the nation to its prominence? And while that's what they needed a Savior. They needed to be restored. That's not what they wanted. They were used to being the military foe. They were used to having the dominance when it came to the battlefield. They were used to being the biggest one on the schoolyard. They were used to having everyone bow to them. But instead of giving them what they wanted, God gave them what they needed. And it's the exact same thing in our lives today. God may not give you and I what we want, but He gives us what we need. And that is what makes Him Emmanuel. That is one of the things that makes Him so special, is that He is with us. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. As Ahaz is asking for a sign, Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign." Almost as if Isaiah is prophesying and saying, the Lord is going to use Himself as the sign. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, remember, we were in Matthew chapter 1 last week, and the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 22, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, that's the same thing. It's the exact same verbiage. It's the exact same thing. Almost the exact same spelling of the word, Emmanuel. But then Matthew takes it a step farther. And he gives us the definition. And he says, which being interpreted is God with us. God somehow was going to be with us. They were used to having a God from afar. A God who could not be touched. Think about Mount Sinai, Brother Mike. You can come up to the edge of the mountain, but don't come up on the mountain. That's my place. You can't be with me. I can't be with you. But because of Jesus, God with us, we would have free access. We would have boldness, Hebrews says. Access to Him. That's what makes Him special, because He is God with us. But what does that mean to us? If you're taking notes, I want you to write down the attention the attention. Let's pray and then we'll dive into our passage. Father, please bless our time. Please speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to see that you are our ever-present help in time of trouble. You are with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, help us to see the significance of the fact that we have a personal Savior. We have a personal God. We have someone who walks with us and spends time with us. We have access to you that the children of Israel did not have. They didn't even see that they needed it. Lord, help us to see our need today. Lord, please draw us to yourself. Lord, please speak to my heart. Cleanse me of any unconfessed sin in my heart and life that may hinder me from being used this morning. Lord, please speak through me today. Please use my voice. Help it to be your voice today. Lord, please draw us close to you. If there's one here today that doesn't have Emmanuel, God with us, they don't have God with them. They might have God around them, but they don't have God living and breathing in them. Lord, I ask that you please show them their spiritual need today. We love you. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Yeah. The attention the angel uses in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, uses the Greek word idu, when he says, "Behold, behold." It means to look or to see or to be drawn into, to be drawn attention to. And God is drawing Joseph's attention to something that's already been said. But for what purpose? We see the first thing. He drew his purpose or drew his attention, number one, to connect. To connect. All the way back in the Garden of Eden. Think about when God made the promise to Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when he said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to the serpent, "between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Mankind had sinned. Their relationship was broken between God and man. God tells Adam and Eve that one day someone would come to restore them. Over and over, we see in the Old Testament, the prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." And that connects to the book of Hebrews. "Let us labor to enter into his rest," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13, "When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." It's believed that there are at least 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to Jesus in the New Testament that were fulfilled in his life and throughout his birth. And God is drawing our attention to the fact that this Bible, this book, is not just a book of fun fables. This is a book that connects the dots in such a way that spells out the name Jesus. It spells out his name. Maybe you've seen the picture that'll be on the screen. Maybe you've seen it maybe in online or maybe on Facebook. People have shared it. But you notice at the bottom there are all these little white lines going down. Those are references. Those are each one a different reference to Jesus in the Old Testament and how they point forward into the New Testament, how they're fulfilled. That long line there in the middle coming down, almost like the umbrella stand, is the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. All of these prophecies on the left side of that line are things telling us of what Jesus would become, who he would be, how he would arrive, and then the arch leaning past the line talks about the New Testament fulfillment of those things. It's a beautiful picture showing us that all of the dots that are connected, spell out the name Jesus. It's him. He's the one. And God is drawing our attention to his son. The fact that he came, God, with us. He was drawn to connect. But also, number two, we see that Joseph's attention was drawn not just to connect, but to commit. It's not enough to know that he came, or even why he came. The hope is that you and I would receive the gift that his arrival came to provide. That's why he came. When mankind sinned in the Garden of Eden, something had to happen for that relationship to be restored. Think about what God did in the book of Genesis chapter 3 to cover them. It says, verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. There weren't just leather patches laying around. There weren't just animal skins laying around. To do this, God had to sacrifice an animal. Death had to happen for their sin to be paid for. It showed that one day another death would come as the ultimate payment for sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore is one man, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin has been passed down from every person who's ever lived, and every person must have their sin paid for. You can either choose to pay your own sin debt on your own merit, which we have done, or we can choose to allow God's substitute to pay for our sin. See, our offering is not pure. Even in the Old Testament, when you look back, all of the law and all the things that the law demanded before a lamb could be sacrificed, it had to be examined. There was a very thorough process where the lamb had to be separated for several days. They would look up and through the wool on that lamb, looking for any spot, any blemish, try to make sure there was no imperfections, because no imperfections were allowed. The lamb had to be perfect, spotless, to be sacrificed, to be qualified as that sacrifice. Exodus chapter 12, verse number 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. To satisfy our sin debt, a perfect sacrifice had to be made. That's why God himself had to die on our behalf. That's why Jesus came. He was God's son. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. The angel drew Joseph's attention to the fact that God was drawing people back to himself by sending his son to redeem us all. Has there been a time in your life where you've been redeemed? Can you say that you have a moment where you have accepted that gift and Jesus came to offer himself as our sacrifice? Stephen Charnock said this, our unrighteousness put us under a necessity of a sacrifice, and his righteousness made him fit to be one. He is our sacrifice. We see the attention that's drawn to Jesus, but then number two, we see the distinction that would take place. We see in verse number 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. This wasn't just God trying to get our attention. He could have just sent us a letter for that. This is God doing something that was unheard of. And we see the first thing we notice is the miraculous births. You think about it, this is not the first miraculous birth in the Bible. Remember, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. Sarah, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Genesis chapter 21, verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. This miraculous birth. You think about Rebekah, who was barren for 20 years before the birth of Jacob and Esau. Think about Rachel, who was barren for years before the birth of Joseph and Benjamin. Hannah, who was barren for years before the birth of Samuel. Elizabeth, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 7, says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. You know what that means? They were old. I didn't say it. God said it, all right? The Bible says it. But in all of these situations, they were unexpected births, but all these women conceived by their husband. All of these were traditional, biological conception. And there are times in our lives that God does work miracles around us, and he uses people to perform his work. He uses individuals. I'll never forget, we were living in Charlotte. We hadn't been there very long. And that was before we moved to Virginia. And I remember we had to pay our insurance. You typically have to do that. You paid our insurance, and we sent our check in every single month. And I'll never forget handing off the check to one of the men in our church and said, hey, we don't have a home address yet. Would you mind sending this in your mailbox? Sure, I'll do that. So he and his wife took the check, and about 60 days later, we received a letter in the mail that they had never received our payment. And now our insurance had been canceled. And if we wanted to reinstate our insurance, it was going to be $900. Now, remember, these are two kids living on love, you know? Won't sing the song, even though I could. But we didn't have $900. So we prayed. God, we don't know where this money's coming from. We had good intentions. When we gave that check to that family, asked them to send it, we had good intentions. Family ended up losing the check. Found out later. I'll never forget the Sunday night we were in church. And one of our college students came up to us and said, hey, we just wanted to do something special. It was close to Christmas time. And said, we want to do something special for you and for Michelle. So several of us just kind of started getting some money together and collecting, putting in this envelope. And here's the gift we want to give you. I didn't think about it, didn't count it. I mean, that's kind of, you know, bad taste. You know, count it right in front of them. When we got home, we started counting out that envelope. It was $900 in that envelope. See, you might not see that God is using you to perform a miracle. You might not ever know it, but God uses people to perform His work. God uses individuals. Maybe He wants you to be somebody else's miracle. Maybe God could use you. You might not even know that someone sees it as their miracle. But would you allow the Lord to use you as part of His plan and be willing to be used? Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. The attention, this miraculous birth, this distinction, this is different. But not just miraculous birth, number two, we see that this is a messianic birth. A messianic birth. There have been miraculous births in the Bible all throughout history, but there's only been one birth like Jesus. Only one. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God miraculously calls Mary to conceive His Son. God submitted Himself to a tiny cell in a virgin's womb so that He could be born unlike any other child in the history of the world. He was fully man and yet fully God at the same time. You know, He didn't have to sacrifice His deity at all to be born because He wasn't Joseph's son. But He could also be our substitute for sin because He was the Son of God. All of this took place because Jesus was virgin born. John MacArthur said, God treated Jesus on the cross as if He lived your life so that He could treat you as if you lived His. See, He didn't have to die for you. He didn't die for you to stay the way that you are. He died for you to become like Him. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So this morning, have you given Him your attention? Behold, have you given Him your attention? Have you seen the distinction? What makes Him significant? Have you seen that God has made you distinct? That God has something distinct for you to fulfill, for you to accomplish in your life? Are you willing and submissive to Him? To His will, in what areas of your life look more like Jesus and less like you? Then lastly, this morning we see the connection. Look back at verse 23. The virgin shall be with child, bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, when Isaiah said Emmanuel, it would be easy to overlook the significance. But when we get to Matthew chapter number 1 and it's repeated, it shows that it's more than just a passing phrase. This is something significant. What is the significance of this name? Two things. Number one, we see the purpose. The purpose. See, sin is what separates us from the Lord. And if God were to be with us, that would only be possible by our sins being forgiven. God cannot come in the presence of sin. You think about when Jesus was on the cross and he who knew no sin became sin for us. And Jesus looked at his heavenly Father and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was in that moment in time when God the Father had to turn his back on his only Son because he was bearing the sin of the world in that moment. God had not been with mankind since the Garden of Eden before the fall. There was always a distance, but because of Emmanuel, God would be able to be with us and we would be able to be with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? God became man so that he could identify with us, but he restores us to himself so that he can have a relationship with us. See, God doesn't want to be your distant companion. He doesn't want to be a long distance friend, have that long distance relationship. He wants to be close to us, a close friend, a close companion. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. There is a purpose in the name Emmanuel. But then, number two, there's a promise in the name Emmanuel. The greatest part about Emmanuel is not just how he came into the world. It's how he left this world. Not just how he came. That's already amazing. But how he left the world. Remember when he told the disciples when he was leaving them in Matthew chapter 28, or when he was leaving first, don't get ahead of myself, in John chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, he said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I'm going to be in you. You see, he didn't just come to be with us. He came to be in us, to live inside of us. And right before he left in Matthew 28, now, Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching you to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, once he's with us, he'll never leave us. He told us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and Joseph didn't know that. Mary didn't know that, but we can know that. We have that promise. Emmanuel has come to be with us by living inside of us. But not only that, he wants to live through us. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ is living in you. Then how are you displaying his life through yours? What is it about Jesus' life that is protruding out to others? Is he your Emmanuel, God with me? Is he living out of your life in any way? The way that we talk to other people, the way that we think about others in our conversations when people pass by, that we don't know if they know Christ. Do we see them as having sheep without being sheep without a shepherd like Jesus did? Do we talk to our spouse or talk to our kids or interact with others? Are we thinking his thoughts? Are we saying his words? Are we allowing things in our mind that only he would allow in? Are we living like he is our Emmanuel? A little boy came home from Sunday school and told his mom, the teacher had talked about Jesus living inside them in class that day. He asked the question, Mom, how tall was Jesus? she said, about 6 feet tall, probably. He thought for a minute, and he said, well, how tall am I? She said, well, you're about 3 feet. And he stopped, thought for a second, and he said this, Mom, if he's that much bigger than I am, and he's living inside me, don't you think he should stick out? God with us should stick out. He should embody us. He should be with us. He is. For a child of God, he's with us. He said he'll never leave us, never forsake us. But if he's in you, he should be living through you. And he should be revealed in your day-to-day lives, in the conversation you have, the interactions with other people. They should see Jesus. So this morning, when someone sees you and spends time with you, do they just see you? Or could they walk away from interacting with you and say, man, I just spent time with Jesus. I spent time with someone who's a follower of Jesus. Remember the New Testament believers after Jesus ascended back to heaven, first church? Remember what was said about them? Said they marveled at them. Said they were foolish and unlearned men. You know what I mean? They were dumb as a box of rocks. That's what that means. Look it up in the Greek. But they marveled at them. Why did they marvel? They took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. Something about their life said, I don't know who they are, where they come from. It was up to me. They're not going to win any contest when it comes to smarts. But one thing we know, they've been with Jesus. If people spend time with you and say, I don't know much about them, but I know they've been with Jesus. That's our prayer. God with us. Is he with you today? Are you doing anything to draw close to him today so that people will see him instead of us? Let's pray together this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Is Jesus your Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come to him for salvation? Do you know that he is living, breathing inside of you as your Emmanuel? Maybe there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Let me just encourage you. Today is that day. If you know your spiritual need, why don't you talk to him? Why don't you simply call out to him? Jesus came, lived the perfect life, and then died on the cross as your and my substitute for our sin that we deserve to pay. He died, was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, triumphant over death, so that he could be your and my Emmanuel. And all we have to do to receive that gift that he died to pay for is simply ask. Ask and believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, a heart, we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. If there's ever been a time in your life where you believe that Jesus died to save you and wants to be your Savior, and you've asked him to save you, there's never been a moment like that, and today's your day, would you simply ask Jesus to save you? And if you've already done that, would you ask him to live out his life through yours? Ask him to draw close to you. James chapter 4, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Are you close to the Lord? You and I are as close to the Lord as we want to be. So look at yourself, personal inventory. Am I close to God? If not, what do you need to do to get there? Would you talk to him about that need today? Whatever your need, let's take just a moment. John's going to sing in just a minute. Let's take a moment for personal reflection. Ask ourselves where we are and where we need to be. Father, thank you so much for being our Emmanuel. Lord, I ask that you please bless the rest of the service. Help us to be serious, contemplative of where we are. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, please allow them to call out to you today and trust for salvation. And Lord, I ask that you please draw us close. Lord, as our Emmanuel, help us to live with you. Help us to be close to you. And Lord, help that be our desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. John's going to lead us in a song. Our personal workers are standing in the back. If you need to talk to somebody, if you want to come and pray at the altar, you can do that. Let's sing the song right now.